from KQED.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Greg Andrew is a biologist with Marin Municipal Water District. He's watching coho salmon spawn in Lagunitas Creek.
Yeah, these are two big males.
The two salmon are fighting over a female. Salmon's life cycle from creek to ocean and back again means their lives are full of struggle. And because of habitat loss and pollution, some populations are barely hanging on.
The population of coho salmon in Lagunitas Creek and throughout California is on the brink of extinction.
And the phenomenon called ocean acidification could make their lives even harder. Here's why. One of the creatures juvenile salmon eat when they're out in the ocean are tiny marine snails called pteropods. Ocean acidification dissolves their shells.
And in some cases, that dissolution process occurs while the organism is still alive. We have measurements to show that.
Richard Feely is a senior scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, based in Seattle. He's leading NOAA's effort to study the effects of ocean acidification, including research on what's happening to pteropods. He's been studying ocean acidification for about 30 years.
Before it was cool, yes.
Since 2007, NOAA has periodically sent ships doing ocean acidification research up and down the West Coast. The ships bristle with scientific equipment, and researchers pack on board to conduct various studies. There was a research cruise last summer. The next one is scheduled for 2016. Here's what's going on. Humans release a lot of carbon dioxide by burning fossil fuels. Some of that CO2 goes up into the atmosphere and traps heat. That's what's contributing to climate change. And some of it goes into the ocean instead.
And about a quarter of all the anthropogenic carbon dioxide that's released from burning of fossil fuels is taken up by the oceans.
For a while, scientists thought that was a good thing. The thinking went, if the ocean absorbed all that carbon dioxide, then it was keeping climate change from being that much worse. They don't think that anymore.
We're beginning to see that this is a very serious problem.
Feely explains, when the carbon dioxide goes into the ocean, it reacts with water to form carbonic acid. That's what gives mineral water its fizz. That sets off a chain of chemical reactions. The end result is the pH of the oceans is changing.
We have been able to measure the change in the acidity of oceans since the pre-industrial. It would be about 26% because of the uptake of carbon dioxide. And this is what mankind is doing.
Feely says since the industrial age began, humans have dumped about 550 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the oceans.
We can actually identify that this is man-made.
He says the carbon atoms have a unique fingerprint that shows they come from burning fossil fuels. The reason ocean acidification is so bad here on the West Coast is, ironically, also why our coast is so rich with marine life, coastal upwelling.
And this is a process that occurs in the summertime.
The winds shift, Feely explains, and they pull the water at the top, near the surface, away from shore. Then the water from deeper in the ocean rises up to replace it. That deep ocean water is full of stuff that decayed and sank. That means it's got lots of nutrients and more carbon dioxide.
When you have the combined impact of CO2-rich waters from the bottom and an additional amount of anthropogenic CO2 from humankind, that combined impact is what has put us over the threshold for this corrosive waters to exist.
Some impacts are already well documented.
When these corrosive waters get into the hatcheries of our shell-forming shellfish species, for example, oyster larvae on the Washington-Oregon coast, they can kill the oyster larvae within 2 days. And this has been happening at the hatcheries.
Managers at a hatchery near Vancouver, Canada, recently said they lost 3 years' worth of scallops, 10 million animals, to acidic waters. This matters not just if you happen to be a shellfish or like to eat them, or if you depend on fisheries for your livelihood.
You can see how this would permeate through the food chain from the lowest levels of the food chain up to the highest level and organisms that mankind really worries about.
Like salmon, seals, whales, seabirds, and us. Ocean acidification has happened before in Earth's history, but Feely says changes on the scale happening now took place over hundreds of thousands or even millions of years, not a couple of centuries.
So you're asking the organisms to adapt to changes that are in many cases 10 to 100 times faster than anything they've seen in the geological past.
There are some small local solutions. Feely has helped oyster hatcheries monitor and prepare for more corrosive water. And he says they could consider locating hatcheries near seagrass, which takes up carbon dioxide. But for the vast oceans, Feely is focused now on monitoring, so he can see the changes as they take place. I'm Molly Samuel, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Wincote Foundation, and the Amgen Foundation.